All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's continue our teaching. I want to see whether I will conclude it today. Otherwise, it will be very soon. That is, maybe next time or the time after that, because I'm kind of in a hurry to go to the next thing that we have to teach. We've sat on this one for quite a while. I've been talking about the sayings of God. Last time, I think the Holy Spirit allowed me a very good concluding introduction. You understand my point? Introduction to the conclusion by discussing exactly what we are doing again. So I'm not going to do that again. So if you're around last time, I'm sure you'll get a very good hint of what we are discussing. The sayings of God, what it is about. Remember something I said last time? Very, very crucial. We must never forget it. And that's the fact that what God is doing is to... actually I've been saying this thing for years, and I think I say it all the time. Let me just start again by saying this. You know, some time ago I talked about the habit of faith. Can you remember? I want to just say to us again, you know, I listen to, you know, the teachers I listen to a lot. One of them is Kennedy Hagin. There are a few other ones, but I want to just refer to something he said. There's something he says again and again. I've been listening to some of it, well, a set of his teachings called My Life and Ministry. But there's something he keeps on saying here and there, all right? Because he was a prophet and used to operate a lot of prophetic anointing. So he would describe experiences that he will have. And he keeps on saying something. Before this happened, I did not have any hot flash or cold flash. He said, yeah, there are times you feel the power of God. He said, but this has just happened. I was not expecting it to happen as more than I was expecting to be the first man to land on the moon. Now, that is, he was totally not expecting it. Are you getting the point? So, for example, there was someone I was listening to again this afternoon. It was in the house of one preacher, and he and the preacher were talking for a long time into the night, and the daughter now came and told the dad she wanted to go and sleep so they should come and pray with her. So the man just told the daughter, come here, let Brother Hagin pray for us. So he got up from the seat he was sitting, and he wanted to kneel down to pray for the young girl to go and sleep. And as soon as his knees hit the floor, it was in the realm of the spirit. And the Lord appeared to him and began to teach him. What I want to emphasize is not what he said about the Lord appearing to him, but the fact that he said, I have never felt actually more ordinary in my life. That I didn't do anything. It's not as if I was fasting specially. I was just talking with a friend. He said, let us pray with my daughter. She wants to go and sleep. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is this, all right? That's what faith is, okay? That we often pretend, you know, if he said it somewhere along the line that I wanted to pray for somebody, so he decided he was going to muster up all the faith he could. Of course, there's nothing like that. What I mean is that that's nothing more than emotion, right? You're trying to focus and concentrate. You cannot muster faith up. You know, I've said it again and again. At the time that you need it, you either have the faith or you have not got it. That's what I'm talking about, the habit of faith. So anytime he would say that, I will smile to myself. That you see, for us Christians, a lot of times we think that for that kind of thing to happen, and even he emphasized to people to be careful not to think like that, that as if the man has to fast for days and pray for days, and then he'll confess that now I'm about to step into the realm of the spirit. You understand my point? And those things actually don't work like that. They don't, all right? And I want to emphasize to us again that either you have faith or you don't have it. At the time that you need faith, you cannot conjure it up by force if it was not there. That's what I want to emphasize. Faith is something you either have or you don't. What I mean by that is this. They can't say that, you know, it's happened. They say those days before you enter into primary school, when they were not so sure of the ages of people, they used to measure people's height before they allow you to start formal education. Now, your father cannot say, now that you are going to school tomorrow, so that we'll be sure they will take you, we are going to pump your height up overnight. It's not possible. Or you want to enter, you want to join the army, and they give a particular minimum height. You cannot decide that today, because I'm going to join the army tomorrow, I must increase my height tonight. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? It's either you're of that height, or you are not of that height. But you can project, maybe in 10 years' time, and you start doing things that are necessary, if possible, to pump up your weight, as an example, all right, before the date that will be necessary. So what I'm trying to say is this, that's how faith is. Faith is something we grow in. It is not when we need it, we go and try and get it. Do you understand my point? I thought that on the 2 days we spoke on the habit of faith. So what I want to bring up from here is, why are we doing these teachings? How faith enters into our hearts if we have the attitude of faith, that is a basic seed of faith ready to walk with God, is that we continue feeding on the word of God. Faith is spiritual stature. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, outwardly, if you eat a lot of food, you get fat. If you go to the gym, you build your muscles. In the same manner, in the realm of the spirit, you have a spiritual stature. And faith is that spiritual stature. And what you do is that you feed your spirit man, like we say. You feed your soul constantly with the word of God. It is not as if you make up your mind, today I just want to believe. Listen, you either have the capacity to believe or you do not have the capacity to believe. Do you understand my point? You either have the anointing with you or you don't. I have discovered. And that's what I practice now. If my wife can testify, when I'm praying, I pray funny, except a burden comes upon me that makes me pray differently. If you overhear me praying, you think I'm just talking. I can be praying with my wife, for example. I was saying that, okay, now, Father, we're asking for this. I say, now, the reason why I'm saying this, it would be a wise for you to know, am I talking to the Lord still, or talking to the person who's praying with me? You know what I'm saying? This is, I just continue like that. And I say, so, Lord, like we're saying, that's just the way it is. It's not, Lord, it's not agidi. You get what I'm going to explain? It's not that one that brings up the faith. So what am I saying? The faith is built up primarily by being fed with the word of God. So when we're talking about the sayings of God, that's what we are doing. We are feeding constantly. It doesn't have, let me just tell you this, it doesn't have to be emotional. Are you getting my point? Let me give you a good habit. You know, when God told children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, this word that I'm teaching you today, it shall be first in your heart, all right? And the heart, first in your heart, and then you shall sharpen and whet them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. That's, I'm giving you the amplified quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, all right? And verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them. Notice this, when you sit in your house, and when you rise by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Let me quickly read that from the Amplified Bible again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. If you have your own Bible, you can just open to it so you see how your Bible renders it. But it's one of the, if there are two things I read in the Amplified, this is one of them. All the other ones constitute the second one. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Well, let's just start from that verse 6. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them, all right? Make them pointed, sharp, all right? So as to make them penetrate. And how do you do that? He said, and shall teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. Now, this is how you do it. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That is how the word enters for the heart of the covenant, for hearts that are ready to imbibe it, is when it is talked about constantly. Do you understand the point? That is how it penetrates. I was saying to you that it's not as if we must have goose feelings, you know, goose pimples when it is entering. It's just by having it constantly around you. It's convicting you, it's changing you. Like I said last time, is building up the cloud of God's glory in your heart. And the Bible says that when the clouds are full, they pour forth divine manifestation into your environment. You know, I've just paraphrased that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, all right? All right? So, what are we doing? We are constantly feeding. So, what I want to do, continue to do again today, all right? This was said that 2 weeks ago, but last time I went to continue it, I couldn't finish it. We'll talk about the fact that God has a word, all right? Concerning divine health. And his sayings about divine health, healing, and all of that is what we need to hear. Remember what I said a few weeks ago, and I said it on Tuesday also, that when Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. I said that tells you that a lot of times in your life, the experiences you will be having will be different from what God's will is. And that's what prayer is. When you identify it, you turn that will. Please, let me say it again. I know I'm saying these things again and again, the same thing. That will is not something nebulous. It's not something like, we don't know what it is, so God, please, anything you like, do. That was not what Jesus said. What Jesus said is that whatever it is that you have recorded in heaven, let it be done on the earth. And he wasn't talking, he was giving a general guide, but he wasn't speaking as if that's how you should use the words in prayer. We said that Daniel saw, by reading from Jeremiah, if you go to Daniel chapter 9, he saw that what was recorded in heaven, because we said before, prophets are those who saw the things recorded in heaven. Are you getting my point? And they declared them on the earth. So Jeremiah went into heaven, because what happens actually is that the angel will just come and say, come, and they go and show you what is written in the scrolls of God. And Jeremiah went into heaven and saw what God said concerning the desolation of Jerusalem, and wrote it down. And when Daniel saw what Jeremiah wrote, he now turned it to prayer and began to pray so that his experience will align with that which is recorded in heaven. Do you understand that point? We've taught it before. I'm not going to buy it again. So if you are experiencing stuff and it's not in alignment with what you have written, it is not proof that that which is written is wrong. It is just proof that you need to take that which is written and turn it to a matter of prayer. So that you wake up every morning, you will speak, not just thy will be done. No, it is written. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. That's recorded in heaven. Let that be done on earth. By his stripes I have been healed. So I turn that to matter of prayer and I declare it all the time. Are you getting my point? And we read from that Matthew chapter 7. It said, knock and keep on knocking. Are you getting my point? Knock and what? Keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. It's not just begging now, but making demand. Are you getting my point? It's like enforcing the rule of God on the earth. Are you getting the point? So you knock and keep on knocking. Once you have discovered it, you don't change the words. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right? This is what I've seen again and again and again and again. I'm going to tie into what we're seeing today. All right? Because one of the reasons why I'm saying this is this. Over the last few weeks, I have had experiences that are very, very painful. Are you getting my point? Very painful. I told this some time ago that one of my, some of you know him, one of my brothers, very close brother to me, very dear. All right, he died. He was ill for a while, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and he died. Do you understand the point? And then 2 days ago, I got a call in the morning. So the person who called me, I said, how are you? All right? And he said, I don't know how to answer that too. Anyway, this is the situation. One brother suddenly took ill, and he died. His own was less than an hour, not even a long story. Are you getting my point? And you all know that about 3 weeks ago, my sister-in-law took ill also. After about 2 days, she died. It's not funny. In fact, this one that happened 2 days ago, I'm supposed to tell our brethren. I told my guys that if you want to tell everybody, me, I don't even know what to tell anybody. And I happened to be the president of the alumni fellowship. In fact, when the other one happened, I had to be answering phone calls. They're not trying to confirm what happened, though. They're trying to ask me what happened. You understand my point? Why did it happen? How did it happen? Where were you when it was happening? Why did you not do the right thing that you were supposed to do so it did not happen? What are you telling us is going to happen to the rest of us? You know those kind of questions. So once my phone ring, I go, look, am I answering or am I not answering? A few people call like that. They want, you know, even those who don't call, they look at you and you know what they're asking. Do you follow my point? At the end of everything, I have only one answer for everybody, including those of you listening to me this evening. Are you getting me? The man I was talking about, Kenny Hagin, in one of those messages, in this particular series, actually, the Lord told him once, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 29, because he had a vision and he asked God, how come I prayed for my sister and she died, she didn't get well? And the Lord looked at him and let me summarize it. He said, none of your business. I'm summarizing the thing that the Lord told him, that it doesn't concern you. That's the summary. It does not concern you. If you listen to different one of his messages, you will hear other things. When he had, I think, he had the visitation of the Lord again, and the Lord took him to heaven, and he saw the sister there. Stuff like that. So why was the lady sick? And listen, if you listen to his stories, or go and even read my greatest of them, my mentor in that regard, John G. Lick. I read his stories also. But the man is such an encouragement because of the way they handle situation. It doesn't, and this is it, those men don't change their minds because of one or two or three experiences. Do you follow my point? We still maintain thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Do you get my point? All right? But if you read another man I talk about once in a while, Demos Shakarian, he too, he wondered, because I don't know whether it was his wife or his mother. One close person, she was seriously sick. They prayed. Bam! Serious terminal cancer. The fellow got well. Severely well. So with the same kind of faith, they went towards the next project. And that fellow did not get well. But the person died. I can tell you one thing for sure. What happened? Nobody understood. Some people may have understanding. God allows us understanding once in a while to give us instructions. And if the instruction we will have gotten from there is clear, all right, through other means, he won't bother talking about it. The Lord does not gossip, he does not gist. He doesn't entertain his friends around a few bottles of beer when they are discussing the evening. Who died the other day? Ah, Lord, what thing can happen now? They say, I told them to pray the prayer like this. They did not. No worry. So there was nothing I could do. I said, all right, another bottle. They keep on drinking. The Lord doesn't do that. Are you getting my point? He doesn't gist. He said, bank account. Hey, you understand? I said, Lord, good evening, sir. Anything for the boys? May I tell you what happened last time for Brazil? He doesn't gist that kind of gist. If the word will not transform you, if it will not affect your relationship with him, if it will not make you better in understanding him, are you getting my point? If it's something that's already revealed, do you follow that you can get from somewhere else? He's not going to talk about it. He's not going to talk about it. So, if something happens and you ask questions, you get no answer, you know what it means? One or two things. Either it is thoroughly none of your business, or the answer you are going to get is the answer you will have anyway if you bother to just continue walking with God and studying the word of God and hearing. After all, the Bible says, the righteous man perishes and no one takes it to heart. And it says that what they don't understand is that they have been taken into rest. It happens. People tell me, now, let me go into that and start seeing as if I'm justifying things that are not good. So I'm trying to explain something here, all right? That even though things like this happen, I like the way Habakkuk said it. Let's read that one. It's very nice. In fact, thank you, Lord, for reminding me to use that one. The story of Habakkuk. Or the confession of Habakkuk. Very, very, very good to solve this whole thing. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Let me just start from verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones. Oh, by the way, everybody I mentioned them because they were all believers, committed Christians. Are you getting my point? All right. And in my place, he said, decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait eagerly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. And I said in verse 17, Habakkuk chapter 3, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruits on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet, hind like an antelope or one of those ungulates, and makes me walk on my high places. I'm explaining something here, that Habakkuk is teaching us something we should all bear in mind, which I've been saying again and again. Experiences of men do not change the word of God. Are you getting my point? We constantly raise the word of God as our standard. And the standard we are raising this evening again is where we began from the other time, the matter of divine health. That indeed, God is the healer. Did I hear an amen? That indeed, God does not delight that his people die early or walk in sickness. This is the will of God. Did you hear what I said? It is the will of God, and we must fix our gaze and our eyes on that alone. Let's read this scripture again. All right, the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now, Paul was speaking here. Speaking to the house of Cornelius. He said, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Please, I want you to notice something. He said he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. What was he explaining to us there? That sickness is of the devil. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It is a matter of fact that God wants us to be well and totally well. When I began to talk about this, my mind just went straight. I don't know why I focused on that. On letting people know that old age is not a disease. And I think you should take that message and hold it. Give it to all your friends, especially your parents. And like I said to you earlier, we are not saying that there are keys inside there and buttons they will press that will make them young. Did I say so?
No.
Just hear it, believe it. The rejuvenating power of Christ will begin to enter into your flesh. That's what I said. It's just to know it. Because see, in life, you see, spiritual things work differently from material things. Words are the most powerful things in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting my point? Jesus said the flesh, the letters, the things you hear physically themselves, they don't profit anything. But they are the methods by which God communicates divine power. This is how he said literally in John chapter 6. He said the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. He said the words that I have spoken, they are spirit and they are life. What was he saying? That is, when you hear the words, it's not the words themselves. It is what they communicate. One of the things, when I say communicate, I don't mean the learning or the understanding. That's important. That's just the gateway. It is the spirit they are passing across. You know, I was discussing something with my wife this morning, talking about life, all right? The way what people call beautiful, and see, you can be so engrossed in it, you don't realize how you are affected by what is going outside. You think it's your thought. It's not your thought. And you know, as I said it, that after all, most of the things that form our values today, all right? You know where they come from? Television. That's where they come from. TV. Girls will starve themselves to death to be slim. Only one reason is on TV. Listen, let's not argue about it. I don't have time to argue. It's one thing I know. It's because television said so. You don't realize it. As I said it, you know, as I was talking, I glanced at my wall and I saw the screen hanging on the wall and the cable leading to, you know, it's, I mean, this is where this thing comes from. That's where it comes from. That is where it comes from. It tells young men what to consider valuable. That's why God said to us, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me try not to digress. When Jesus said the words profit nothing, it is the spirit that gives life. You know, one of the greatest lessons I've learned in recent times, you know, before as a young man, young Christian man, what I used to think, if a man is teaching, I'm analyzing. There are people that when they are talking, and I wonder, is anybody listening? Is anybody understanding? Is anybody getting blessed? I don't know what I get the point. Just because they are not reaching me. Like I said the other time, not everybody is your teacher. It's not every preacher you connect with. Are you getting my point? You can't look. There are not too many. There are not too many. There are hundreds and hundreds of preachers out there. Are you getting my point? Many are as informed, as anointed as the ones you listen to. But you just don't connect with them. Don't be angry. Don't feel bad. More importantly, don't think he doesn't know what he's doing. It's just that the two of you don't connect. And God is not angry. God knows where your connection will come from. And he will lead you into your place of your own connection. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. So I used to wonder, what is this person saying? But I have found out, it's not as important as the spirit he is saying. I don't know what the hell I said. It's not just the words he's saying. It is the spirit he is saying. If he's a man of faith, he will communicate divine faith into your spirit. Do you get my point? If he's a man of unbelief that does not focus, he doesn't try to connect God to people, listen, better find another level. There was a time one brother told me that he was having some issues, and there was one particular sister he said that would come and counsel him and everything. And that anytime she leaves, after talking with him, he's always depressed and he will feel bad. I said, next time she's coming, disappear. There's nothing being nice about it. If I say this, it will surprise you. Some people communicate a witchcraft spirit. I'm telling you. I'm not joking about that. That's not supposed to be a joke. If every time somebody finishes talking with you, I don't care how anointed he appears to be or how senior he is, you leave the place discouraged and depressed. Now, you can leave a place convicted and feel bad. You get my point? But you will know it's because of the conviction that your soul received. But I'm talking about gloom and doom comes upon you. Confusion comes upon your soul. And I'm not talking about confusion which God is kicking you out of your bad ways. I mean, you thought you knew what you were doing. You thought you knew the Lord. Now you are doubting God's existence or whether God remembers you. That fellow is communicating to you an evil spirit. Jesus finished talking to his disciples. Clear cut information. Peter said, let me confuse you small. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That is, that's talk. If Peter had continued talking the talk, you know what happened to Jesus Christ? If he was subject to the words of Peter, he would like, now wow, this cross matter, is it really necessary? Starts doubting. But being somebody who understood, as soon as Peter opened his mouth, he said, shut it. Shut that mouth now. Shut it and get out. Get behind me. I remember I was talking to somebody once. I quoted a word that Jesus spoke, that a man of God spoke about life and how to live it. And the fellow said, that is what that one said now. What do you say? You know that kind of thing. I said, be quiet, carry your rebellion and leave my house. Yes, look, I have entered into rest listening to these words. Don't come and put panic into my soul. You get what I'm saying? What am I saying? As those words come in, what they are communicating is what? Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's not the flesh. It's not the flesh. That's why when a young girl who was possessed of a familiar spirit came and was walking with Paul and speaking good sounding words, these are servants of the Most High who have come to teach us the way of salvation. Paul said, after some time, discovered what was going on. Now, I'm putting words now. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how it happened, but this is what I want to imagine. If you listen to some people, they say that he suddenly had a discerning of spirit. It's possible. But you know what I think? I suspect Paul was experiencing unnecessary hindrance to the gospel. Places where he would have spoken. As a preacher, you know. A time comes, you know the kind of anointing that is flowing. You understand? Maybe the man wants to flow a kind of anointing. And then he discovered that the thing is bouncing. After a while, he puts two and two together. Usually, when I'm about to say that, this girl will just announce that these are men of God. Listen to them. And then the hearts of the people will be hardened. Paul says, hey, I understand what is going on here. I mean, I remember in the story of John G. Smith Wigglesworth. Once he came to preach, as he began to flow, the thing will move. He said, maybe I'm feeling hot. He removed his jacket. Talk. The thing don't move. The man removed his waistcoat. talk. The thing is not flowing. After a while, he paused for a while. He looked around the hall. And he saw some men at the back, sitting on a row, holding their hands. He suddenly located them. They are what you and I will call witches, wizards, or whatever name he had for them. They were cult men who came to hinder his ministry. He continued preaching. He didn't even cast any spirit out. He took them and the chairs and threw them out physically. He said, out, you devils! All of them ran away. And instantly, he got back to the pulpit. The whole place was loose. Do you follow my message? I believe that's the kind of that happened. And Paul said, what's going on here? Then suddenly the Holy Spirit pointed in that direction and said, oh, it is this girl. Come here. From now on, you ain't telling no fortunes no more. You Americans to say it. I command you in the name of Jesus, get out. And that was it. Ministry opened, things began to, the people now panicked. What am I trying to explain? Is look, when people utter words, even though it appears nice and comely, if your spirit starts feeling bad about it, listen, no matter how nice the person is, move. Move. I told that brother that day, I said, next time that senior sister wants to talk to you, tell her you're not available. The Lord sent me and said, let him send somebody else. I'm not listening. Are you getting my point? I'm emphasizing the fact that it's not just method. It's as we are communicating divine spirit. So you hear it. I was talking about words being very, very powerful. So all your life, they've told you, as you're walking, you and your friends, they say, ah! Somebody said, you don't begin old. You understand my point? I've had people tell me things like that. What's the problem? I said, age don't they catch up on you. You see, these are things you hear every day. They are subtle. You hear it every day. So it becomes natural. You know, say, I don't the old. I don't the forget. Like I told people that, yes, I don't remember things now as much as I used to remember them maybe 30 years ago. It's not because I'm growing old. It's because there are many more things to remember. That's all. My brain is getting bigger. It's expanding capacity. I can remember more things. It's just that now I have much more. So oftentimes I have to, prioritize. And things that my soul doesn't quickly think is crucial is dropped down on the memory level. Are you getting my point? Those days, maybe as a child, you watch one small cartoon like this, you can recite it from the beginning to the end. But now, you watch it 10 times, your brain tells you, Pastor, it's not important. Your brain will echo out to you. Say, man of God, it's not important. That's why you start telling stories like, maybe you watch Tom and Jerry. It's called that Tom is killing Jerry or Jerry is killing Tom. You don't understand. No, it's not your brain. It's just that now, Isaiah is more important. Do you get my point? Yes, children's school fees, you have to calculate, is more important. You have to go to work, is more important. You have to change your tire, is more important. There are many more things. You have appointments. Thank God for smartphones. So those things are more important. That's why you forget. Don't let anybody lie to you because you are getting old. Because old age is not a disease. You hear what I said? You will be old and you will be full of sap. That's what the Bible says. You will be fresh. Your youth will be renewed like an eagle's. Very powerful information. Just hearing it and accepting it has changed your attitude towards old age, and you will have a different experience as you grow older. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, let's get back to the matter of divine health. We are focusing on what God says. Are you getting my point? We are focusing on it. That we are saying that sickness is not the will of God. People used to say, well, by the time I was growing up as a Christian, nobody said it. Nobody said it. I mean, what I heard was that people were correcting what was said. That, God is using this to keep you humble. I said, in that case, you are proud. Why don't you repent of pride and the thing will leave you alone? Are you getting my point? Yes. No, I'm not arguing the fact that maybe that's a problem. But this, now you have agreed that pride is the problem, not the will of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You have accepted that pride is a problem. If you say, God kept me in this infirmity so that I will be humble, fine. You have just agreed that pride is what? The problem. That's a matter of fact. So it's not the will of God. Otherwise, you'll be saying that God knows that I need a bit of pride hiding in my soul. No. Listen. The will of God is said we have heard. He said, you have heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. There's something I just want to quickly say. I don't know why, just came to my mind, I should quickly say it. When my sister-in-law passed on, another of my sisters-in-law was very angry. Of course, you're hot. So she told my wife on the phone that that's the problem with this country. She lives abroad. That is because the medicine is not good. I said, ask her whether people know they die for UK. I said, ask her. But I understood that when you're hot, all kinds of things, just be angry. And that's the reason I'm saying that. Let me just continue explaining. Of course, shortly after, one of my friends told me about somebody in their church in UK who just said that I'm not feeling very well, and let's make a long story short, before the end of the week, she was dead. She went to hospital. I'm going somewhere. Now, a lot of times, people criticize Christians. And say, they say they are believing God. And that's what the problem is. Let me say this to you. I don't know how you will interpret it. That's a lie. My friend who died, the one I told you about, yes, we believe in God, but he took every medical what do you call it, remedy available. And that killed him faster. No. I don't mean that as a joke. I'm telling you literally what happened. I imagined. Let us assume we had refused. Because we could refuse. And when I say we, I was in a position to join maybe him or his wife and say, we are not taking. And that's the end of it. He won't take it if all of us say no. People will now say, oh, this is the problem with these people. This is the problem with these people. But I can testify to you that he will have lived longer. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have done it. You get my point? That's not what I'm saying. I don't know why I just feel like correcting some things in the minds of people. If God doesn't cure somebody, no doctor can. That's why, generally as a profession, doctors are careful enough to emphasize, we care, God cures. And I have discovered a lot of times, it is God will have cured, but we killed you first. A lot of times it happens. What am I going to explain? The gospel of divine healing is a very good gospel, very accurate. It is far better than any kind of story people want to tell. It is far better. In fact, I have a persuasion that until God wants to release healing in a particular regard on the earth, even the doctors and scientists cannot decode the information to bring it to pass. You hear what I said? Anytime you see scientific discovery, medical discovery, that makes life easier, what God is just saying is that not all men have faith. Do you understand my point? At this point, it is determined that I show mercy in this particular regard. Therefore, we tell the angels, release the information so that they can take care of every man, whether they have faith or they don't. That's a matter of fact. I don't want to sit on that, but that is a matter of fact. The truth is that the only reason people get cured, either by natural means or by medical intervention, the only reason is because God desires that men be well. Do you get my point? Yes. That is the only reason. That is the only reason. That is the only reason. But let me just say something about medical care for a moment. God warned us about something. He said, cursed is the man who puts his trust in what? In men, in the arm of flesh. He said he will not see when good comes. Am I saying people shouldn't see doctors? No, I'm a doctor. That's what I do. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with that fundamentally, right? But what I just want you to understand is that first of all, your trust must be in God. If because of the level of your faith, God uses a doctor to take care of you, fine. But listen, any man that God has not sent a dose of healing towards, doctors will only succeed in killing him. That's not a joke. That is not a joke. And let nobody fool you that it is Nigeria. It's all over the world. If you go on the story of Benghazi, God helped him in a particular way. But what I want to bring out is that the diagnosis that he had a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. And it was detected very early. And like he will tell you that how the healing came, he doesn't know. And he had a surgery. He took some herbs. He prayed. They all of them put together, I'm well today. Praise God. Are you getting my point? But what I want to bring out is that because of the kind of tumor he had, normally the way, when doctors want to treat, one of the things we do, we'll call it staging. We want to see whether it has spread or it hasn't spread. Do you know, when they did a scan of his spine, when they x-rayed his spine, which is where prostate cancer likes to rush to, all right? And that's why it causes very severe back pain when it has spread. Because, now, after they scanned it there, they told him the thing has spread to his spine. You hear what I said? In fact, when the nurse working with him, or the physician assistant, they called them, first saw this, the films, her heart sank that, ah, our guy is dead. Look, spiritual things are interesting, all right? But what happened was that because he's a big guy, because he's in a big hospital, I mean, you're talking about Johns Hopkins here, all right? They now sent the film to another highly specialized guy to look at. And he looked at it and said, no, it has not spread. Are you getting my point? That these are just congenital malformations in his spine. It's very rare. Most people miss it. If they didn't send to that kind of fellow, he probably would have missed it. And instead of treating with the treatment they gave him, they would have said it has spread. They would have not offered the treatment because it was in a very early stage where the doctors could remove it totally. They would not have bothered. It would have now spread and killed him. And that would have been in America, not in Nigeria. And let me tell you, bad news, it happens every day. In Nigeria, in America, in Enugu, everywhere. You understand my point? It happens. That is why you must put your faith first where? In God. In God. You must put your faith first in God. You must. And the interesting thing about God, the way he works different ways. He's very kind. He often comes down, I use the word down, to meet people at their level. What I mean is that, again, I quote him a lot, so I tell the story of Kenneth Hagin's wife. He's a great man of faith. He was a great man of faith. If you know the kind of disorders he believed God to get cured of, leukemia and severe malformations in his chest, including his heart, everything that plagued him, he will fight it off with faith. His mother-in-law was sick. One day he was praying. The Lord suddenly anointed him. He touched the goiter and it went down like a balloon. His own wife, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, thyroid of his thyroid. You are getting my point? She got the same goiter and Bros prayed, fasted, did everything. The only manifestation he gets is occasionally he will have the finish, he's going to die. At the end of the day, let me put many stories together. The woman was telling him, take care of the children. Ah, finally, one day, he had a vision again. And the Lord said to him, tell your wife to be operated on, she won't die. The story about it is simple. One day, he had asked his wife, what can you believe? And the woman said, I can believe that I will have surgery and not die. Even then, she didn't have that faith yet. They had to keep praying until the Lord gave him that vision. And then she went for surgery and she lived and did not die. But why have I told the story? She refused surgery for a long time herself because she understood that if she went for that surgery, she would die. She knew she wouldn't come back alive. And the man asked the Lord in the vision, the Lord said, yes, certainly, most certainly true. That woman would have died. Then he prayed for her. That was before then. And the Lord granted him what he asked for, that she wouldn't die. These things are spiritual. Do you get my point? So, Aretha Hagin had surgery, but it was because God granted her healing first. You are getting my point. Doctors are a level of faith by which God meets people. They are never the hope for anybody. You hear what I said? The Bible says, if any man afflicted, let him pray. Is any man afflicted? I wanted to say. He said what? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let whatever it is that the doctor does for him be an answer to what? To a prayer. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. But what am I talking today? What is he going to pray about? He's going to say simply, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. We are discussing the will. What is the will? Himself took our infirmities and our diseases, and by his stripes we have been healed. That is the will of God.
Like I said at the beginning, I'm not supposed to even explain it. I'm supposed to just tell you. God does not enjoy that you are sick. Every headache is a disturbance to heavenly order. Did you hear what I said? Every kata is a disturbance to heavenly order. Every cough is disturbance to heavenly order. Every malaria is disturbance to heavenly order. It is never the perfect will of God. Somebody came once, disciples of Jesus. He said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Was he the one? Or his parents? And I wonder how an embryo could have sinned. You didn't get what I said? And like one man said, maybe one day when he was in the stomach, you know, babies can kick. And as some women think that if you have two children, maybe they are wrestling. The amount of kicks they experience. He said, maybe one day the boy kicked the mother. Man, the mother said, God punish you. So, maybe that is the sin. Maybe that's the sin he committed. Because when he asked me, who sinned? That this one should be born blind. I said, is he him? When did he do it? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anybody, there were gist about the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, neither. Neither. Now, let's read it the way most people just read it. And I'll give you the way Reinhold Bonnke reads it, which is so instructive. The book of John chapter 9. Now, I'll read... I'll just read this straight, the way it sounds in the New American Standard, then I will explain something. Then I will qualify it, and then we'll go on to our exegesis for the day. Verse 3, Jesus asked, the story is in verse 2, disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of him the works of God might be displayed in him. He said, we must walk the walk of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can walk. And then he now said in verse 6, the Bible says that he said his part on the ground and make clay of the spittle and apply to the clay to the man's eyes and said to him in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. All right, and then the man went away and washed and came back seeing. If you read that verse 3 very properly, he said that, but. Now, here, the word it was is what they call ellipsis in Greek, all right, that's in biblical translations. You see it's in italics, which means that it was just put in there to try and make sense out of what is there. Literally what it says, you should jump that. Literally what it says is that neither this man sinned nor his parents. But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must walk the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can walk. That's the way somebody like Reinhold Bonnke will read it out to you, which I believe. It makes a lot of sense if you look at the whole scripture in context. God is not crazy. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Doesn't just wreck things so that he can rearrange it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Things are wrecked by many methods. But this is what I understand from here. Jesus was experiencing two things. One, as a matter of fact, the boy did not sin. The man did not sin. Of course, he would have been a child. He didn't sin, so he would be born blind. He couldn't have. And number two, it was not because of the sin of his parents. Please, I don't have time to go into the details of it. But there's something that Jesus said somewhere else. He made it clear that there's sin in the environment. And without that, this man would not have been born blind. I'm putting many things together, all right? It's just that you can't point directly at his parents. Are you getting my point? Maybe you could point to his great-grandfather. I don't know. So what he did was to just take everybody away from what caused it. Let us look at the solution. That's what he was saying. Why are we sitting discussing? How did it come about? You know, which is what a lot of deliverance people like. I've heard this before. I think I referred to it before. I was with some people. They told me about one great man. He preached a particular sermon. Very, very deep. I said, what was deep inside? He said, if you are having marriage problems, go and check whether your great-great-great-grandfather was a slave trader. Who sinned that this man should be boxing his wife? Is that not who we are talking about here? Was it the wife or the husband or their parents? And Jesus said, forget that issue. Let us solve the problem of my Tyson spirit invading the home. You are getting what I'm saying? He said the man said that the reason is because, you know, a slave trader breaks homes. Amen?
Amen.
Yes? If you steal me away now, I'm going to sell me as a slave. You made my wife a widow. You know that. So, for that reason, a curse has been placed upon all their descendants that they will never have homes that are together. Are you saying? So, there's a curse upon them. Therefore, you know, this is why preachers will gather and be invoking, they will go to your village and be saying, which sin did your great-grandfather commit? Jesus said, it is irrelevant. Let me add this, it's only for those who don't understand what is going on and don't have the power of God to solve the problem. All this descending of genealogy, you know, there's descending of spirits and the descending of genealogy. You hear me, young men say it. If a girl comes out of a broken home, I can never marry her because statistically we have found out that if people from broken homes often produce broken homes. Is it true? Yes, in the world, in the church, aren't nonsense. Aren't what? Balderdash! Aren't nonsense. Jesus said, who sinned that this home should break? Neither. I don't care. But we must walk the walk of him that sent us while it is day. We must mend the marriage and make sure that I don't care whether the father shot the mother and the ghost of the mother came and revenged against the father. I don't care. This girl will be happily married. She will live to be 90. Her husband will be 93. And they will be taking strolls on the road and their great-grandchildren will be following them. That is the power of Christ. I've discussed this thing before. When we talk about the word Christ, the word Christ simply means the way it works, let us assume statistically it's been proven. They've done the chi-square. Those statistics. Checked all the p-factor. And they say, we know if your father is divorced, your mother is divorced, you go divorce. And in fact, you will so divorce, you will cut your children in two, one by one, so that your father, your mother, your wife will take the right ear, you take the left ear of the boys. Statistically, it's been proven. Listen, let me tell you something. I used to make the mistake, don't make it anymore. Don't argue with anybody. If the person is a believer, tell him, shut up. I was reading Billy Graham. Billy Graham said one day, he was preaching, he copied the message, he was preaching it, talking about waiting. That God promised Christ for the first 1,000 years, no Christ. 2,000 years passed, no Christ. 3,000 years passed, no Christ. 4,000 years passed, no Christ. 5,000 years passed, no Christ. 6,000 years, no Christ. 7,000 years, no Christ. I thought he got 7,000, his friends behind him said, shut up. Somebody just whispered to him, shut up, my friend, and sit down. He was preaching. He said, what, 7,000 years? From Christ from Adam till today, it's 6,000 years. How come you are telling us 7,000 years? No Christ. You get the gist? What am I saying? That's just by the way. So if your friend is a believer, a Christian, is talking that kind of thing, tell him, shut up. If it's your senior, say, sir, I will be pleased if you would discontinue that discussion. That's a very nice to tell an elder, shut up. Very nice way to tell an elder to keep quiet. It will be to the benefit of mankind, sir, if you discontinue from expressing that opinion. One day, a senior colleague, a professor, he and I were talking. He was saying something. I said, excuse me, sir, you understand I will have to disagree with you. He said, let me finish. I said, I just want you to know ahead. Finish. I put up my hand, I was in his office. He was talking things I could not stomach. I said, sir, please, you understand I have to disagree with you. Just tell the person nicely. But if it's your mate or your junior, tell him, zip your mouth. There are things, all right, that operate outside Christ. That's what I'm explaining. Don't bring it into Christ. It's an insult on the body of Christ. So people, go ahead. You see the 225 questions to ask before you say I do. I see a job interview. I want to marry you. Now you'll be interviewing me. Because I won't marry you. Say I won't marry you now. It turns to a job interview. It will give me GMAT. May I solve? Where's your father? He's in Bangladesh. Where's your mother? He's in Lagos. They quarrel. Where's your brother? He's late. What happened to him? Tell her straight, I know they marry again. Or tell him, I'm not interested. Nobody, they chase me. Okay, I'm not answering you. I failed the test. Thank you. I'm going. You understand my point? It's because we don't understand this. Who sinned that this one should be born blind? And Jesus said, it's irrelevant. Like I told you before, that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. What it means is this. In today, he makes it irrelevant who sinned that he was born blind. Because once he starts seeing, are you getting my point? It's no longer relevant why he was blind. So he said, let's not waste the energy. Because everything, I told you, the Lord does not gist. He said, Piro, half hour, sit down. Tell me about your mother-in-law. Why did she have that fever? The Lord doesn't have that kind of time. You get my point? So, discussing why he was born blind, I told you it was irrelevant to the life of Peter, James, John, and you and I. Therefore, he did not discuss it. He said, what is relevant is the will of God. That will be done in this man's life as it is recorded in heaven, that he should see and see clearly. That's always the will of God. Are you getting my point? Like I say, if Christians say that, maybe God, and I said, I preached something like that before. If maybe God allowed that, because I said, fine, I'm not disagreeing with it. Sometimes troubles in life are a barometer that God leaves there to check how closely we are working with him. What it means is that every sickness, therefore, is an indication that something is out of order. It doesn't make it the will of God. Never. The Bible says clearly, the elder John was talking, who understood the will of God, who taught it in 1 John chapter 5, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The same person wouldn't have prayed if he didn't know what the will of God was. And he prayed, I pray, I like King James there, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the will of God. That you be in health is the will of God. That every disease is healed is the will of God. He says clearly, by his stripes we have been healed. You know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went everywhere doing what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Do you get my point? Listen, there are lies we tell ourselves. And listen now, lies, spiritually speaking, it doesn't mean there's no physical evidence to support it. You can have a physical evidence to support something, and it's still a lie. What is a lie? Everything that disagrees with the will of God. When the Bible calls the devil a liar, in his lie he was causing trouble, you know that. Are you getting my point? So be careful. I like one thing. One man preached to me once. I was in church. Actually, he was preaching. And I learned it. Never forgot it. Now, it's something you must practice. Say, I will practice this. Now, listen to this. When the Lord called Adam, Where are you? What did Adam say? I hid myself. I heard your voice. I hid myself because what? What was the next thing the Lord said? Who told you you were naked? Tell your neighbor, who told you? Very important. In life, you must give references. The Lord is very scientific in his thinking. What's your reference? The Lord didn't say, how did you know? Did he say so? Did you check? The question was, who gave you that communication? You need communication to start reasoning wrongly. Yes, it's only when you have been communicated we start thinking upside down. The Lord looked at him and said, who told you you were naked? Where did that information come from? He didn't say, how did you research it? Did you do an experiment? No, the question was, who told you you were naked? Information, I told you, words are very powerful. Words are what? Very powerful. You know my best reference there. Terry Myers wanted to marry Jackie Myers. And Jackie Myers said to Terry Myers, I will not be able to have children. And he said, who said so? That is, the veracity of the information is only as good as its source. You are getting my point. It's only as good as its source. Who told you you were naked? Everything you believe about yourself was a question. Who said it? Listen, anyone that was not said by God is a lie. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Who told you with that young? Say, see, my father said, in the last generations, no man in our family has lived beyond the age of 45. Is it a lie? It depends on what you mean by lie. From our context today, is it a lie? Yes, it's a lie. Because when they said, who told you? You said, my father said. That makes it a lie. Do you get my point? Who told you? What did God say? Because I said, that Romans chapter 4, when Paul was analyzing it, he said, Abraham in hope believed against hope. Hope, we explained, is the expectation that's born out of evidence, out of information. Do you get the point? If you get a text message now, transaction notification, GT Bank, credit, 25,000 naira on your, give you the figure, the number of your account, you understand? Your balance now is 28,950. You take your ATM and you toss it like this. The morning when you say you don't get, I just say, GTV don't tell you, say you get her. So you go near there. And you're not, maybe tell the recharge card, well, give me 15 Glow, 15 MTN, 1,000 Glow, 1,000 Visa phone. Give me Zane, you know, everything. Should I scratch it? Say, go ahead, scratch it. And you're in front of the ATM. You know, you have not collected the money. You understand my point? But you just got the text message. Are you getting my point? That is called what? Hope. It's called what? Hope. Hope is not a wish. No. Hope is not a wish. Hope is when you get information. Do you understand my point? And it produces expectation. We call that expectation what? Hope. So then the guy scratch the card. Your friend that you were owing, you call him and say, Emeka, how far? At the house for evening, from 5 I go there, come collect them. How much? You know, the young guy 3-5, come collect them. Why? Because he got a text message. Who told you you had money? GT Bank. Transaction notification. I think it's on the display. Do you get my point? If before then you wanted to buy food and somebody said, don't buy it. We can't pay. They have not paid salaries. They haven't paid. And you say, hey, I go chop this night. I know say man go sleep hungry. You understand? Then that text message came. See, first you had hope. And what was that first hope? A negative hope that you will sleep hungry. But now a new hope came, not out of a wish, not out of nowhere, but from the bank itself, saying that, yes, money has been paid into your account. You go ahead and buy the food. Are you getting my point? So what happened to Abraham? He had hope. Hope from what his father told him. From what the society told him. When a man reaches this age, and a woman reaches this age, they can no longer have a child. And he's concluded honestly, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? Fair conclusion, based on evidence. But God said, who told you you will go childless? Was it me? Abraham said, no. So now let me tell you what I am saying. You will not go childless. Your wife will bear a son. And a father of many nations is what I have made you. That's a new expectation. The first one, physically, it looked like it was good. It was accurate. It was correct. You understand my point? But we know that once it falls short of the glory of God, it's a lie. Are you getting my point? So that one, your father told you, nobody in my generations ever lived beyond the age of 45 has suddenly been declared what? A lie. Why? Because a new word comes that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will give life to your mortal body. You will live beyond the age of 45 and double the age of 45 nicely. Do you get my point? That is the will of God. There's one scripture I said we should read then. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. The sayings of God. What did God say? We're not talking about our experiences. We are just saying this is what God said. If you don't have it, grab a copy of my tract, A Prayer for Your Healing. I don't know what, do we have it there? We have it there. Everybody please read it and get a copy. Some of this we are saying is new to a lot of people. That's why I give somebody that tract and bring me back a testimony. You hear what I said? Say amen if you believe that now.
Amen.
Take a copy, read it. And listen, I don't mean, you know, I've heard people say that I've read this one before. No, that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm one person that hardly buy books I've not read before. Now, I'm not saying I never buy. I'm saying if I buy 10 books, 5 of them, 6 of them, 8 of them I've read before. Most of the time I borrowed from somebody I read, or I owned it long ago. And if I have a book and it blessed me, that's a book you are guaranteed I'll read 50 times. In fact, I don't count how many times I read them. I just keep it there. Periodically, I just take it, move through 2, 3, 4, 5 pages, drop it, pick it, read it. That's just the way I read. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Peter said, even though I know you know these things, I will not stop reminding you of them. You have read it before, it's nonsense when it comes to the word of God. You take it and read it again. You take it and do what? Read it again. God gave them a commandment to Israel. He gave a commandment to their kings that you would give him a copy of this law. Let him write it with his own hands. When he finishes writing, he will start reading. When he finishes reading, he will start reading. When he finishes reading, he will start reading. When he finishes, he will start again. He said this he will do all the days of his life. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Grab a copy. Read it. It is not just whether you have read it before. It's every time you read it, there's a communication of divine power. That's what I'm talking about. Like I was saying at the beginning, faith is not when I need it. I suddenly wake up by force. Faith that wasn't there. No. And don't let's do like the foolish virgins who started looking for oil only when they needed it. What am I saying? Build your faith before the time of crisis. You hear what I said? Build that faith before the time of crisis. Somebody say, laugh at the devil. If you don't find it funny, you won't laugh. Are you getting my point? What will make it funny is when the devil tells you what is not in line with what you knew before then. That's why it is funny. It's only when you have information you can laugh at the devil. You get my point? What am I saying? Feed your heart with this information. Feed your heart with it. Feed it. Why I refer to the tract actually is because in there I made a statement about what people call incurable. And I want to say to you again today, there is nothing like an incurable disease with God. So he said, open there, Jeremiah chapter 32. From verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. We're talking about the sayings of God. Saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? That's what I want to read from there. What he was saying is simple. No, there is nothing that is too difficult for him. He said in Exodus chapter 15, let's quickly read that again. The sayings of God, what did God say? Exodus chapter 15, he said in verse 26, and he said, if you will give earnest heed. Now let me just tell you, what does King James say there? Who asked King James? If you are hacking. Yes, diligently hacking. Very good. I just want to confirm that that's what he said. I don't read King James so much these days, so I forget it. And if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. Now, what I just want to say, okay, let's finish reading it, and then I will now say what I want to say. And give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Literally, I was listening to Derek Prince. He said, the literal word there says, I'm the Lord, your doctor. That's what he will say. Are you getting my point? That is, if I have a complaint, I tell it to him, he provides healing. You are getting what I'm saying? But the first thing I want to just bring up from there is that word, diligently hearken. Diligently hearken. Now, let me quickly tie this together. God says, in effect, I'm the Lord, your doctor. There is nothing too difficult for me to solve. That is, as far as God is concerned, there is no disease called incurable. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said, there is no disease called incurable.
Amen.
Now, let me quickly emphasize that thing. The word diligently hearken, that's what I'm trying to teach believers all these days. The word diligently hearken, the way it comes to us, in the way it sounds in English, is as if, or give earnest heed to, you know, as if you do what I'm saying quickly. But literally what he said is, the literal Hebrew says, if you shall listening. I don't know what I hear what I said. That's why I like the way my New American said, if you shall pay earnest heed, give earnest heed. The word is attention. It is not first obedience. It is first of what? Attention. First of all, it is what? Attention. It is not obedience first. This is the mistake Christians make. We want to start with obedience. What are the keys to divine healing? That is, what do I do? What do I say? How do I say it? Are you getting my point? No, that's not where it starts from. It is first of all paying attention. There is something I want to say quickly. This has been my own experience. If you're normally a very healthy person, physically speaking, and suddenly you become ill, I don't care whether it's a simple headache or catarrh or diarrhea, whatever it is. Of course, go ahead, pray, rebuke the devil, do everything, but don't ever forget this. Take time out and pay attention. Did you hear what I said? I'm not saying attention to your sickness. I didn't say browse the web and see what the doctor said about this kind of trouble that comes suddenly at noonday. I didn't say so. He said, if you shall diligently hearken or listening to the voice of the Lord thy God so as to obey all these commandments, that is, pay attention. Take the word, stay back 1 weekend. One of the problems we have as Christians, we work too hard. Did you hear what I said? One of our problems, it is forbidden that a Christian should work very hard. I have said that hard work doesn't kill. It does. It kills Christians. It may not kill unbelievers, but it kills Christians. A Christian shouldn't work very hard. You should work hard. Amen? Remove very from your own hard work. It's against the will of God. It is vain to rise up early, to go to bed late. Whatever you harvest in that process is a bread of sorrows. I pray you walk with God and understand what I'm saying. There's no reason why I should be up at 12 midnight. MTN says they can only give you night browsing. Browse from 9 to 10. Go and sleep. Wake up 6, do another 1 hour. It's good enough. There's no glory in Christians bragging about how hard they work. There's no glory in it. I know this is not popular, it's not nice and normal, but I will say it. I have discovered that it is not good. Jesus gave a commandment. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The ninth comment when everybody should go to sleep. He said, it's vain for a man to rise up early. If you're a student, all those reading at midnight is a waste of time. Your problem is that you watch man you during the day. Yes. If you're a student, whether you are here, you are listening to this on TV, on tape, wherever, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ not to watch one local home video throughout the semester. What's that? My amen.
Amen.
That's not good enough. Another one.
Amen.
Because these are people that tell 30 minute stories in 4 hours. How will you make progress? That's my personal commandment to you. If you are one of the students of the word that I teach, follow that word. That's why you read at 5 a.m. At 2 a.m. Because you were watching home movie in the afternoon. Listen. If I say this, look, listen. Let me quickly give you one prayer. Hold on to it. At the same time when I finish, especially if you're a student. Listen, let me first tell you something so that you can say amen properly. When I was in university, all my classmates, one day we were discussing. No, actually, one day I went to class. One of my classmates, I was leaving the class. I still remember the lady's name, and I can still see her face. So she was sitting near the door as I was leaving the class. I said, Banky, are you going? I said, yes, I'm tired. Today the thing just didn't flow at all. I didn't read today. That, look at it. Now listen to this. I was in class for about an hour. I said, look, I read only these pages. I showed her like 3 pages of our textbook, our physiology textbook, Guyton, they call it. Textbook of physiology. And the thing is not flowing, I'm going. She went through it, and said, it didn't flow. You stayed 1 hour, you read this. I said, yes. He said, this normally takes me a whole night. A whole night? Now listen. Later I found out my classmate said I read very fast. That typical and regular assimilation, I used to eat like 8 to 10 pages of that book in an hour. On a good day, I go through like 8 to 10 pages, 1 hour. And I mean, I'm talking about assimilating. Then one day I was reading with another of my classmates, and he eats 14 pages in an hour. Average in my class was like 4, 5. No, I want you to know that, see, these things happen. Because I want to pray a prayer for you. That's what I want you to know. So don't say that, Pastor, slow down that prayer. Waiting. I want to warn you ahead. Listen, that's why I stop copying. I told you, you don't know who you are copying. Some people you are copying who are reading 24 hours, they are slow. Yeah. You see, a cheetah wants to run. He said, we have to run 24 hours. I said, because the snail, you know, is always walking. Let me now pray my prayer for you as a student. You will assimilate at least 5 times as fast as your peers in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I just converted 1 hour to 5 hours for you. You will absorb in 1 hour what previously used to take you 5.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I told you that story to let you know it happens. Are you getting my point? So that you can set target for yourself. Go and sleep. You don't have to pray, read around the clock. It is not godly. I know people have testimonies. I am giving you the sayings of God. Assimilation, blessing, is not tied to the longevity of hours you spend in class. There is what there's one word in English that God gave to us. The word is optimum. Everybody say optimum.
Optimum.
Yes, you should optimize your reading. You should do what?
Optimize.
The word is optimized. There is what is optimum. Why should they be using it to teach economics? The law of diminishing returns. The first 1 hour, you assimilate maybe 5 pages. The second 1 hour, you assimilate 3 pages. The third 1 hour, you have one page. You should know that the Holy Spirit has departed from you. Go and sleep. Stop wasting time during the day. If Kano Wako beats Okocha, what do you concern you? These boys collect 21 million naira a month. And you want to die for them. Have they ever given you a tithe or an offering? A time will come when you will cross your leg, you'll buy a 72-inch LED TV and pay DSTV full bouquet, high TV, all of them put together, and call Kanoya, play, rewind it, play. But not now. They are crazy Christians that don't come for Bible study when UEFA Champions League is in there, they are playing finals. If you ever done that as a Christian, you must repent in the name of Jesus Christ. It's against the will of God. You are not walking by faith. You are walking by pure stupidity. And I've told you that there's a world of difference between Christianity and stupidity. They are not the same religion at all. I can show you where stupid people gather. Come there at night. They are there downstairs. You see all the girls, you see all the men. But you're not one of them in Jesus' name, amen?
Yeah.
A wise man. Can't be using precious time to be watching. The word of God is coming forth. Yeah. Today, you know me, I only know man, you and those. I don't know many of them. Okay, the Borussia Dortmund. So they are playing Ajax Amsterdam. And you will come late for Bible study. If you do that again, may God forgive you before I say something bad. You are telling God it's not important. You are telling God it's not important. Because you have been so entrenched in this silly thing they call football. Let me remind you, it's 22 adults chasing a rubber ball. If you want to know how silly it is, go and watch American football, which you don't understand. Then, you know, you see, what are they doing? The same way you are confused. That is how God is confused when you are playing football. What is this boy doing? I told you to go for Bible study. He's watching match. Students of the world, never watch home movie, matches, anything when the word of God is going on. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Let me sit on my main message. My main message is that you will not work too hard to succeed in life in Jesus' name. You don't have to. When it is night, sleep. When it is night, what do?
Sleep.
Don't even browse again at night. All those browsing of poverty. All night browsing, 200 naira. That's why you can't add weight. How can you add weight? When you're always awake, when real people are asleep. All night browsing. That time is over in Jesus' name. What have I said? Christians are supposed to labor optimally. They don't labor excessively. They walk the walk of him that sent them. Why am I saying that? All right? Because I've discovered. Sometimes, he said, take heed. You understand? Pay attention. Listen. If physical ailment slows you down, are you getting my point? Slow down. That's what I'm saying. Slow down to consider the word of God. I've heard people say that Christians should work hard. Hard work does not kill. Believe me, it does. If you work too hard, it kills. I've quoted this man for you before. What is his name?
Paul Getty.
He said, how do you become rich? He said, it's simple. Rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. Go and read his story. At the time, he was the richest man in the world. But he was also, at a point in time, a certified lunatic. That's not supposed to be a joke. The man was mentally out of order in the latter days of his life. He was paranoid. He lived alone. One of his children said, money was a curse to our family. Be careful who you follow. Tetona, I told you, used to work 18 hours a day. He kept on divorcing the wives. They are not wicked people, the women. They couldn't understand the husband they did not have. How can a man work 18 hours a day? Even you don't want to marry him. What am I saying? Let's not play into the hands of the devil by chasing things that God did not give us to chase. If another man dog lost, waiting concern me. There are people running up and down, chasing other people's dogs. Bingo is lost. Is it your bingo? No. No, some of the races we run is a race that's not our own. The car God won't give you easy. You don't need it to. That's the one that will jump and break your leg. You are getting my point? I'm just adding that clause so that Christians will understand some things. When you wake up in the morning, read the Bible. Pray. Read the prayer for your healing. Confess the word of God. Quench that phone. When is this night? In case of an emergency, let them call the police. Or fire service. You are none of the above. Don't be pretending. Say, they may need me at night. Get two phones. Give your mother one special line. Your close relatives, one special line. The normal line. Eh? Point charm. So maybe your wife wants to call you at night. Let her call the second one. I hope you are getting the spirit of what I'm saying. You must rest and allow God to infuse a blessed spirit into your soul. That's what the Bible calls the peace of God. That peace of God is not just a man. No. It's a spiritual force which you only are able to imbibe when you are ready to cast your burdens upon the Lord. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything with prayers and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. James said, cast your burden upon him, for he cares for you. Back to Paul. Paul now said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard upon your soul. Are you getting my point? It will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
Allow it. What did I say?
Allow it.
What did I say?
Allow it.
Allow it. Allow it. Have you learned anything today?
Yes, sir.
If you're blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, we thank you.